Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studios.
This is Jake and Stacy on 710 ESPN Seattle. Streaming live on the 710 Sports app and at 710sports.com.
Now, here are your hosts, Jake Heaps and Stacy Ross.
Our coverage of opening day is presented by American Prodigy The Kid, the Ken Griffey Jr. story. Guys, it's the debut of the Scott Service Show on the Issaquah Pest Control Hotline. Do we have Mariners manager Scott Service? Are you here with us, Scott?
Yeah, I got you.
All right. First of all, happy opening day. This is a really, really exciting moment for you guys. I mean, can you walk us through just some of your emotions? You've gone through this before, but I would imagine each year feels just a little bit different.
Oh, it's an awesome day. It's great for baseball, and everybody looks forward to getting it going again. And certainly going through what we did last year and now getting the opportunity to have fans in the stands. Our guys are really fired up. It's fun to see some of the games around the league going on right now. So a lot of excitement, anticipating a big night for all of our guys.
Scott, I missed out on one of my favorite parts of spring training, or I guess it's the end of spring training, and that's when the whole team gets on the plane, flies back to Seattle, and for the first time, there are some people on that plane, and sometimes it's the first time they're walking into a big league clubhouse, but there are a lot of guys on that plane that are walking into that Mariners clubhouse for the first time and checking out their lockers and seeing the field. What was that moment like?
It was a little different this year because certainly we had alternate site guys traveling with us as well. So we had quite a full plane. But, you know, it's an exciting time for young players getting the opportunity to be a part of opening day for the first time. And like you said, coming into our clubhouse, working out on the field yesterday, there's a lot of big eyes. And that's great. That's the way it should be. You know, it's something these players have dreamed about their whole lives. They've worked their tails off to get here, and now they need to enjoy it. I'm looking forward to our young center fielder getting out there tonight. Taylor Trammell is really excited, and it'll be a big night for a lot of guys, obviously.
Now, Scott, we had Mariners VP and assistant GM Justin Hollander on, and he told us a story about how he fought his way into the room to be a part of the meeting that you had with Taylor Trammell to tell him the good news that he was going to join the big league club and be a part of opening day. How special was that moment, and what was the reaction like, and how awesome is it to be able to tell those guys that they're going to be up in a situation that they've always aspired to be in?
Those are exciting times for players and even myself to be able to deliver that message. You know, there's so many times at the end of spring training, the majority of your time is spent talking to guys who did not make the team. So those are a much more difficult conversation. So when you finally get an opportunity to deliver the good news, it's exciting. I always like to have a little fun with it. You know, guys are on the edge of their seat when they come into your office. They don't know what to expect. You know, it's all they've been thinking about certainly for the last couple weeks. Am I going to make it? Am I not going to make it? So that sigh of relief, I think, is the biggest thing, and just the joy that overtakes them. And sometimes guys will get emotional. Taylor Trammell definitely got emotional. He started to tear up and had some big crocodile tears of happiness coming down his face. But it was great. Great opportunity for me to deliver the message. And don't let Justin fool you. Justin's not fighting his way into any of those meetings. He's welcome anytime. that's his
no,
way.
We were told, Scott.
He was pumped. He was pumped.
Now, what did you see specifically that you love from? Because, I mean, spring stats are, they're stuff that for us it's fun to talk about. I don't know how much you guys read into them, knowing that, well, it's spring, and so you really never quite know. So I would have to imagine there were more specific things you saw from Taylor that let you know, like, now's the time to bring him up. What were one or two of those things?
Well, I think you're looking at how players, how they handle themselves through the course of at-bats and what they do defensively, how they run the bases. You know, what is their game awareness? What kind of baseball IQ do they have? Certainly, you know, as younger players come, they learn. They learn every day. They're learning from, you know, veteran players in their own club, just going through experiences. But I think the thing that stood out for me early on with Taylor was just as he's got a ton of confidence. He carries himself like he belongs. And I think sometimes it takes guys to get comfortable, but never felt that from him. And, you know, he's a two-sport guy. He was a big-time high school football player down in Georgia, so he's got a little bit of that football mentality, and you can see it in the batter's box. You see it when he's out running the bases and in the outfield. So I really like how he's wired, understanding that, you know, he's young. He needs experience, but that's what we got. We have opportunity here. We're going to give it to him and hope he takes it and runs with it.
Scott, you know I have to ask a lineup question here.
Okay, Shannon.
I'm taking it for granted. Just confirm, Taylor Trammell is in the lineup tonight?
Yes, he is. Yes, he is.
Okay. He's going to make his big league debut. There's nothing more exciting than that. It's just a great moment. But you learn a player, you see them for whatever time you can see them before the big league debut. And I think that first time, that first at bat, that first pitch thrown, you're never quite sure exactly what's going to happen under that situation. Things can really change when all of a sudden they look up and, wow, this stadium is big. There are a lot of fans in the stands. My family's here. This is a big moment. What are those moments like sometimes when you're looking out at some of those players for the first time stepping on a major league field or stepping up to bat or on the mound?
Well, I think that's the thing that stands out to me. They are trying so hard. You know what I mean? And sometimes you can almost try too hard instead of letting the game come to you. But you know, everybody has to go through that first moment, whether it's the first fly ball hit to him tonight or that first at bat or that first stolen base opportunity. You got to go through the first, and then hopefully they relax and just let their ability come out, because he's got plenty of ability. There's no question like that. But it's exciting. It's exciting for everybody on the bench to see how guys are going to react in that first at bat. Sometimes crazy things happen. Guys hit it out of the park. Sometimes they get that first hit out of the way. But whatever the case, you got to get those firsts out of the way. Fortunate for us, he'll take care of that tonight.
You bring up a great point that everybody's going to be watching. I assume all the Mariners will be up on the top step when he's taking that at bat. And when we were in spring training, it just really jumped out at me how your younger players and your more veteran players were mixing and how they were able to work together. And when you spoke to one, they spoke of the other and the importance of the other in what they were doing and the goals of the team. It just seemed like there was a great balance out there this spring, Scott.
There really is, and a ton of that credit goes to our veteran players, you know, the Kyle Seegers, and, you know, we talk about how excited we are for Taylor Trammell tonight. I'm super excited to see Mitch Haniger out there. It's been a while, and he's a tremendous player, and he's one of those veteran guys that has taken on a leadership role along with Marco and what Past has brought back to us. So, you know, when you see the younger guys, you know, mingling and talking and taking it all in from the veteran guys have to be willing to give, and our group really is. They're willing to give back some of the things they've learned along the way and things that they were taught by veteran players. And I think that's so crucial in our game, that you have to be willing to give back a little bit. Our guys have done it. It's really helped ease the transition for our younger players to feel like they're a part of what we're doing here, because you know, that's what it's going to take. It's going to take all guys helping each other. It is a long season ahead of us. It is a marathon. I know everybody's geared up for game number one, but we're going to find out a lot about our group this year, and I couldn't be any more excited to take that journey with them. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Scott, my background has been in football, and in my experience, I've had coaches and been in programs where the coach comes in every year and they have a new mantra, they have a new theme, and I've only been a part of one coach who has kept it the same, and that was Pete Carroll here in Seattle with the Seahawks. His message was very consistent. What is your approach? Do you have a very consistent message to these guys, or is there a little extra flavor that you add or a new theme that you add each and every single year? And if that's the case, then what is your message to these guys this year?
Well, I think it's a good point, Jake, and I think I've learned over time, for what I believe in and how I think we should be wired. And, you know, probably the last couple years, it's been much simpler. I haven't been chasing a cool slogan or anything like that. It's just very simple. It doesn't matter. Just get better. And it really applies to everything. It is the answer to everything. It doesn't really matter what you did last year. You got to get better. It doesn't matter what you did yesterday. Just focus on getting better. And, you know, we've taken it to a little bit different level this year, and we're talking about getting 1% better. You know, as a baseball player, you come into the ballpark, if you're a position player, there's 10 to 12 things you're going to work on throughout the course of the day, whether it's in the weight room, it's in the batting cage, it's looking at video. Can you get 1% better at those particular things? And you build upon that. And if each guy takes that attitude, we look up at the end of the year and we're going to have a pretty successful season. So, you know, it doesn't matter, get better and just focus on getting just a little bit better. You don't have to take a huge step. But I think if you just get 1% better in those different areas, now you got a chance. And certainly, you know, compound that amongst 25 or 26 guys and a coaching staff and a front office and focusing on what we need to do, we're going to be just fine. I talk about this often, you know, where our team is at. This is a crucial year for us. You know, we turned the roster over in 2019. We came in last year in a shortened season with a very young team, and now we got a lot of those same players back and looking to build upon that. But just 1%. Get 1% better in those different areas, and we'll be just fine.
Scott, is that the main expectation or expectations a little bit separate from that? I imagine things are a little bit different as guys get more experience and their legs under them. And then as the season goes on, I mean, we saw some actual competition in spring training. That could occur as the season goes on as well.
There's no question. Competition's a great thing. And constant forcing guys to be at the top of their game consistently, it's what the big leagues is all about. You know, you do need to perform at a certain level. And, you know, we talk about having really good process, and we believe in ours is, you know, absolutely it's about, you know, dominating the strike zone and how consistent our guys can be at that, whether they're pitching or hitting. But having really good process usually leads to really good results. And ultimately, at the big leagues, that's what we got to have. We got to have some results. But our players know that. Our players are excited about the challenge. They're really looking forward to it. And you know, it all starts tonight. But we got a long season ahead of us, and I'm really looking forward to spending the year with this group because we're going to learn a lot about each other.
Scott, one of the players that you look at in terms of the word process, that word that you use really stands out to me, is looking at Evan White, for example, his process, his approach to the plate, the learning experience that he went through last year. We saw him be outstanding out there on the field. What is the goal for his process to be like at the plate this year over the course of a 162-game season?
Well, I think, you know, consistency, that's the biggest thing. You talk about major league players and guys who have very nice long careers is that they're consistent. Understanding there's going to be some peaks and valleys along the way, but, you know, trying to be more consistent. And I think in Evan's case, Evan's a very talented player, but he'd never played above the double-A level. We gave him the opportunity here at the big leagues last year, and you know, he struggled at moments, you know, at the plate. But I think the thing that he learned is his ability to control his emotions and really have a clearer picture from the mental side of things going into each ball game and not letting it go too fast and get away from him. He's shown a lot of positive strides in spring training and nothing more than his ability to take ownership in his own career. And it's okay to say no once in a while. It's okay to question why coaches or teammates are asking you to do things, because at the end of the day, it's your career. And if they can't explain to you a good reason why you should make this adjustment or do this, then don't do it. And I think he's been able to simplify some things. He's in a really good spot. He swung the bat as good as anybody on our club the last couple weeks of spring training. So hopefully he gets off to a quick start. That would really help his confidence, and we're going to need him throughout the year.
Yeah, Skip, we mentioned Haniger already. Justin Hollander mentioned him. We had him say, like, what are you most excited for tonight? And so I know during the course of this interview we've already talked about him, but I just want to cycle back quickly because I think with how excited Justin was about it, it kind of made me reexamine what this moment must mean for Mitch, right, to get back out there. I can't imagine how it'll feel, you know, being on base for the first time in a long time. So I just have a quick clarifying question. Is he 100% healthy, 100% ready to go? And is he going to be on any kind of management as far as the time he's going to be seeing?
Yeah, Mitch is 100%, and he showed that. I mean, we were very strategic in kind of, you know, putting his playing program together in spring training. So it was a slow build up. You didn't see him play a lot of back to back games early, but he did over the last 10 days of camp. But I think what you'll see this year with Mitch, first of all, he is super excited to get out there, and he can't wait to get going again. And I tip my hat to him. He went through a very major injury, and then it kind of built upon it to get to the point where he is now. It's a lot of not just the physical you have to go through, but the mental grind to stay in a good spot and to get healthy again. But he is 100% ready to go. I say all that. You will not see Mitch play 160 games this year. It's just not going to happen. We are going to monitor his workload and the volume, and you know that'll be taken kind of probably week to week. I'll sit down with him and kind of pinpoint, hey, I'm going to give you this day off. And I think Mitch is the type of guy, he appreciates that. It kind of, he revolves all of his workouts and all the stuff that he does just away from the game. You know, he can prepare better and get the most out of him. So you know, he will have some scheduled days off. You will see probably more early in the season, just to make sure he's in a good spot, because the goal is to get him through a 162-game season. I'd hate to lose him again for any reason, and it's certainly not going to be because, you know, we didn't take, you know, the right steps to make sure he can stay healthy and stay fresh.
Scott, as we wrap this up, I have to ask, the guy on the hill tonight, was he graceful about the Zags' win over Creighton?
Well, let me tell you what, you know, Marco, I don't know if he's graceful about anything. He likes to... whenever he gets the chance, and he should. And he should. The Zags have a powerhouse team this year, and it's going to be hard for anybody to stand in their way as far as getting a national title. But hopefully, he can take some of that Zag magic on the mound tonight. Again, looking forward to giving Marco the ball. He's had it the last few opening days for us, and he's competitive as they come. And I'm looking forward to hopefully get us deep in the ball game and turn it over to our revamped bullpen this year.
All right, that was the first Scott Service show. You know, I would be, Scott, remiss if I didn't just say a quick hello from Howdy. I got to make sure I put that out there.
How's he doing, by the way? Is he still
well, he's talking. He's talking all sorts of trash that you're dodging him yet again.
Yeah.
That you've been able to survive without having to see him due to, you know, obviously circumstances
he's ready at
we
the
can't
plate,
control.
Scott.
But he's talking major trash behind the scenes, Scott. I got to be honest with you.
Tell Howdy as soon as he's eligible to get his COVID vaccine shots, and I'll be glad to have him out here when everything calms down, hopefully later this summer. I look forward to seeing him and talk a lot of trash with him. He's one of my
favorites. He's ready. He's ready.
And we'll thank you for putting that to rest, too, by the way.
He is Mariners manager Scott Service. Scott, thank you so much. We appreciate it, and have fun tonight.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it. Take care.
All right. Shannon, thank you again for joining us for our very first Scott Service show.
Yeah.
It's move-in day for me here, too, today.
I know,
right? This is exciting, and I can only imagine what this is like for you and the excitement build up. You're in there in spring, and now you're finally getting to look at the park and getting to see the live in action, and everything's really going to kick into high gear for you.
And real people, too.
Yes.
You know, I don't think it should be missed that, you know, opening ceremonies and the fans coming in, that's just going to be such a huge moment to see real human beings instead of cardboard cutouts in the stands. Knowing that Taylor Trammell's family is going to be here. Everyone who debuted last year did not get to have anybody at the games. You know, just some emotion on that level, too. So, and then what the Mariners have in front of them. It was an exciting spring training. It was an eye-opening spring training. And you just kind of wonder. You wonder, you know, what the speed of this kind of picking up and you know where you want them to be, how quick can they get there? And sometimes you look at it and go, you know what? I think they might be a little ahead of the curve here. We'll see.
Yeah. Shannon, was there anything that Skip said during our interview there that stood out to you heading into opening day?
I think, you know what, the Mitch Haniger and continuing to manage that, because when we saw him in spring training, it was, wow, he's exactly the same. But I think you have to remember that in spring training, they're very much managing what everybody does. And it's very different. I know everybody just kind of laughs. Well, they're just standing out in right field for 9 innings. How hard can that be? It is an adjustment to go out there and to play baseball every day, day in, day out. The season is a grind, and he hasn't had that. So I think it is, and it'll be hard. It'll be hard to get him to Mitch. You got to take a little break here today.
Yeah.
But you have to allow him to get back into that. That's something that, you know, all the preparation in the world doesn't get you ready for.
I was reading Ryan Divish's feature on Haniger, and I didn't actually know a ton about Haniger, the person. So obviously you do. I didn't realize that he was someone who very much keeps emotions in check. Do you think he's going to have a hard time doing that if he gets a hit tonight?
You know, they say that, but I think sometimes different interviews, different things come out. And when he's talking about his process, it's very, you know,
robotic.
After a game. Well, that's a word that's been used, but you get him going on something that he's passionate about and he takes off. The voice picks up. It's louder. It's faster. He's a fast talker. And one of the things that he was really passionate about was bringing these kids up and the need for veterans. And he was almost pounding on the table when he was talking about that. And so, you know, I think it depends where it comes from. So I think those emotions are there. He's a new dad, too. This will be the first time that he takes the field as a father. So I think there's going to be a lot going on when he gets back out there. Not sure you'll see it, but I'm sure it's going on behind the face.
Well, that'll be awesome. And Shannon, I have to tell you, we are so fired up to be able to have you join aboard with us during these interviews with Scott Service. And you guys can look forward to these every single Tuesday here on our show. And we are going to be excited to talk to Skip, get some fun out of this, and also to get you guys updated with what you guys need to know. I'm sorry in advance, Shannon, for all the crazy questions we might ask, but
I'm hoping that Howdy could. Here's the thing. Scott Service said that he would be on our show for an hour, a full hour, if Howdy got 2 hits on him.
Howdy doesn't have a chance. We
I
all realize this, right? No, no,
you
no,
guys
no.
Are
no. Don't buy that. No,
Howdy
no, no. Howdy will tell you. Howdy's going
looks
two
like.
For two. That's not happening.
No, Howdy.
Stacey, you're on the wrong side.
Howdy's
very
got
much
this.
Is. I tried to tell her, Shannon.
You get
she
one,
won't hear
just
it.
Just a bunt, maybe? I mean, he can do this. I believe in Howdy.
Okay.
You guys don't
Stacey,
believe in
you're
Howdy.
Stacey, you're
going
to have to step up after Howdy does.
Oh, no, I didn't sign up for that.
We just signed you up.
That's right.
I'll be way out there. I'll be like, no, skip. Today's not my day. Today's not my day. Okay, I fit in one last question before we let you go.
Absolutely. I'm not going anywhere.
Perfect. So I listened to the latest Cactus League report. You had an interview with Julio Rodriguez. Oh. I loved it. First of all, I do want to talk about him. In the interview, in passing, you're talking about some of the guys, like, oh, are you like seeing veterans hit? You know where I'm going with this. Oh, I'm sure you loved seeing the veterans hit. And you get to Ty, he can really hit France.
Thank you.
As you call him.
Yes.
Absolutely. And Julio stops and says, can we talk about him for a moment?
Let's talk about Ty France.
Let's talk about Ty France for a moment. So, Shannon, let's talk about Ty France for a moment. I know that those numbers started evening out a little bit at the end of spring, but it feels like he's following up. Is the big thing really just like you don't want to have to use him a ton on defense? I mean,
don't have a place for him.
Exactly.
That's, I mean, DH is the spot that you have.
Yeah.
And he does, you know, the defense, they do want to, if you look around this defense, you might notice there's some gold glovers out there and everybody else is pretty good. So the defense is part of this. And what he's going to do, if you come out to the park early before games, you're going to see him out there working with Perry Hill.
Yeah.
And there's a lot that he will be able to do over the course of the year to improve his game. I mean, look at what J.P. Crawford did over a year. You know, Evan White, there are little things, but bigger things with J.P. Crawford. So Perry Hill will go to work with him. He'll get some starts at second, an occasional start at third. But it's more a function of we don't have a place for you quite yet. We want that bat in the order. And he's fine with that. He's kind of amended his answer a little bit, but he's, you know, it's initially was, I don't care, I just want to hit.
Well, and one of the aspects about this is, you know, I've had people that I've talked to about this situation with Ty France, and people are like, why is it a big deal that he just settles in at DH? I don't get it. Just let him own that position. Well, down the line, you're going to have a very competitive outfield, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you're going to have Tremel, you're going to have Julio down the line, you're going to have Kelnick, you're going to have Kyle Lewis. At some point, you ideally would maybe want that DH spot to kind of be a revolving door, right?
Well, pretty much any team, you know, the shy of the Minnesota Twins with Nelson Cruz, who desperately wants to play the field, by the way. But no, you can't do that, Nelly. It's just better in general because you can also get guys days off that way. And if you need a mental day, sometimes that helps, just not having to worry about being in the field and just concentrating on your hitting. So, yeah, it's better, especially a young player. Nobody's really kind of raising or growing DHs these days. It's important to have that versatility where you can, and important to be able to keep that spot open and just kind of give guys days.
Right.
She is Mariners insider Shannon Dreher. Read her stuff at 710sports.com. She's going to have a ton of stuff, not only, I'm sure, after this game, after this series, but as the season progresses. If you are not able to be one of the 9,000 fans in the stand tonight, obviously you can listen to the game on 710 ESPN Seattle, but follow Shannon on Twitter at Shannon Dreher for the latest updates. That includes injury updates, everything you need to know. She's got great stuff. Shannon, you are the best, and I will have you know, I'm not going to tell you what it is, but my guy Howdy did call you out on Twitter already, so be prepared for that.
I'm going right to that.
It's
gotcha.
Happening.
Gotcha, Howdy.
Thank you, Shannon. You're the best. All right. Coming up next, we're getting you guys ready for opening day with your little preview of the opening series between the Mariners and the Giants.
You're listening to Jake and Stacy.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studios.
Streaming live on the 710 Sports app and at 710sports.com.
Now, here are your hosts, Jake Heaps and Stacy Rost.
Our coverage of opening day is presented by American Prodigy, The Kid, the Ken Griffey Jr. story. Fantastic podcast, by the way. That debuting, Taylor, you said next week? 2 weeks from now, going to be the debut of American Prodigy, The Kid, the Ken Griffey Jr. story. You can go subscribe to the podcast now. They have a first season available, so you'll already get those episodes automatically downloaded the second they are available. Now, before we get into What I Need to Know, which is still coming up next at 1:45, Curtis, what is it you called us right now that we can do?
We're vibe curators.
Vibe curators. Oh, yeah. Let's curate a vibe for everyone so that we know what's going on at T-Mobile Park. Jake, Curtis, and I are out here. Taylor Jacobs is here getting you guys ready for opening day. It's the Mariners versus Giants, first game of that series. Marco Gonzalez on the mound. So this was inspired by Taylor mentioning he really, really wanted a hot dog. And I turned to you guys and I said, what's the single best ballpark food? and we have to rank them definitively.
I thought we had this conversation a couple weeks ago, it feels like.
I might have changed my mind.
I said helmet nachos, and I was just lambasted by Stacy, but I think the text line had my back in that.
They did have your back.
I don't like nachos.
Although that is one of those foods that when you go deep into a helmet nacho, like, you're in all the way.
Oh, yeah.
Like, you can't go back from that because they are a lot deeper than anybody can realize. But to me, number one, by far, head and shoulders above, it is a hot dog. It is a classic hot dog. Getting a hot dog at the ballpark, it's just sentimental.
Do you go relish, ketchup, mustard?
No.
Do you go a Seattle dog?
No.
Do you go plain? Do you put baked beans on it? That's what I used to do.
Beans are hot dog.
Why are you guys looking like I'm crazy? You never did that.
Stacy, you're crazy.
You don't.
I've heard of a chili dog.
Never in your life had baked beans on a hot dog.
No,
it's delicious.
No,
it's so good.
Oh, Stacy.
What?
What are you, British?
It's good, you guys. I mean, here's the thing: the bread will get very soggy, so you have to eat it in like less than 30 seconds.
Baked beans on a hot dog.
I'm trying to remember what it is. But there's a certain like gourmet hot dog that they have. It's like a jalapeno hot dog that they have somewhere around here in the ballpark. I can't remember exactly what it is, but it is so unbelievably good. And my mouth is literally watering just thinking about it. I just had to swallow that.
Watch the Mariners come out with their baked bean hot dog inspired by your girl.
They're not going to.
It's good.
No, it's not. But I would say that, okay, so hot dog, lobster roll or crab roll?
Yes, the lobster roll.
Those are so unbelievably good.
And they've got a crab sandwich as well, in addition to the lobster roll.
Yes.
And they've got the crab fries. I mean, it's next level stuff.
Look, you know where I'm not getting seafood? Arizona. You know where I'm absolutely getting seafood? Right here in Seattle. Well, like, I'm very fine with that.
Yeah, T-Mobile Park. But also, I don't eat them. But it is not... Like, you don't go to the game and not smell this and not recognize that you're in T-Mobile Park and you're at a Mariners game, and that is garlic fries. Just the smell of garlic fries just make you feel right at home.
Yes.
Yes. Can confirm.
And people who have the contrarian opinion that garlic fries are bad, they're just looking for attention. Pay no mind to them. I mean, there's just people out there that like to stir it up and say, oh, garlic fries are bad. It's like, okay, remind me to never get a food opinion from you.
Now, my family is Italian, and my mom, when I was younger, I don't know if it's true, but would tell us to our faces that garlic makes you live longer. So I've always believed that my whole life.
Well, you are considerably older than us,
okay.
So it's working.
Stop it. No, I'm not. This is not funny.
Oh, man. Are they going to walk around? Jackson asked me this other day. Like, are they going to walk around with, like, the cotton candy and the peanuts?
It's a great question. I saw someone earlier carrying a giant bag of popcorn. Obviously, that's not to walk around. They're probably carrying it to one of the concession stands. What I do know, and it's important that you guys know this, they do have some very specific rules for opening night. So if you are one of the people that is coming here tonight, or you plan on coming during one of the early series when they're still selling tickets before they presumably try to bring in even more people, you have to stay in your pod. It's going to be a pod of six or fewer people. So you can't get up and walk around and high five. I know you're going to want to. I know when, like Curtis says, Ty France comes out and hits multiple home runs on multiple games, you're going to want to get up and you're going to want to go high five people. You can't do it. Stay to your pod. Also, it is a cashless park right now. So make sure you have card, or I don't know if they do Apple Pay, but no cash.
No cash.
No cash.
Well, and that was going to be one of my roles here for the Mariners. I offered my services. I even brought it up to John Stanton, is that, look, anybody that brings cash into the building.
You can confiscate it for them?
Yes, I will confiscate the cash. I will take it aside. You can hand it to me when you walk through the gates.
Okay.
And I'll take care of it. I'll take it off your hands.
This is the start of Jake's pyramid scheme, and I want you guys all to know that we were here for the beginning of it. Just know that. He's going to start taking in cash and then giving it to the wrong people. And I always knew he was on to something, but now I know for sure. I didn't say my favorite food, but you know what? It's because I think I agree with all of you. At my core, I know it's a hot dog.
Yeah.
I know it's a hot dog. You can't fight it.
It's an absolute
If you
classic.
Have to have one thing when you get to a park.
And the long licorice ropes.
The 3-foot long ones?
Yes.
I don't like licorice.
Okay.
I'm going to choose to ignore that,
but that part of it, that long licorice rope, it is unbelievable. It is so good. And you know what? It lasts a long time, and you get to enjoy it throughout the whole park. That, to me, is also another thing that I love to see and reminds me that, yes, I'm back at a major league ballpark again.
First of all, from the text line, someone said only Skip Bayless would say he hates garlic fries. It's those kinds of people.
True.
Secondly, multiple fans who know and get it have said, have you guys never had baked beans on a hot dog? It's good.
Yeah, instantly blocking those numbers.
Okay, well, that's fine. Obviously, other entries are the crab fries. Does that work?
Yeah, that's the one that's out in the in center field there.
I've never tried those.
It's really good. They give you like a lemon wedge that you can spritz over your fries.
Yo.
And they have a tartar sauce you can dip them in, too.
That's delicious. hot dog's the number one answer right now on the text line, by the way.
And I love this text from the 206 because it's straight facts. Is if 710 hosts a charity banquet, please don't put Stacy in charge of the menu. Leave that to Jake and Curtis.
I'm sorry. One of us loves fine dining. And others of us, one, two, three of you, like Uncrustables.
Well, we are a men of the people, so we will provide food that everyone will enjoy.
What do they sell in every grocery store in America? Uncrustables. What do they not sell? Baked beans on a hot dog.
Yeah, you have to make it yourself because you have to put work into it. What I need to know is coming up next. Here's how it works. You text any and all questions you have. It can be about opening day, about the Mariners, about food, movies, Seahawks, anything you want, any question for any one of us or all of us to 710-710. What I need to know, it's right around the corner.
You're listening to Jake and Stacey.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studios.
Streaming live on the 710 Sports app and at 710sports.com.
Now, here are your hosts, Jake Heaps and Stacey Rost.
Our coverage of opening day is presented by American Prodigy, The Kid, the Ken Griffey Jr. story. It is what I need to know. Send those questions in right now to 710-710. Text them in right now. Let's go ahead and hit the text line for what I need to know. Let's see. Oh, Jen in Beaverton says, what I need to know, has Mitch Haniger paid enough dues so that he never, ever has to be injured again? That's what I'm hoping. That dude has been through a ton. That's what I'm hoping too, Jen.
Well, it's like freak accidents, too.
That's the thing, because he, again, in that interview, he's like, look, I'm not a guy that tears his hamstring all the time. It gets a ton of soft tissue things. I got, like, hit in the face by a ball and, like, hit by a random foul ball. Like, it's all these weird freak injuries.
Yeah, and, you know, hitting yourself in the groin area and that's a brutal situation. So, you know, I think Mitch Haniger has had his fair share and he is due to have a great year, and I am really, really pulling for him because he is truly one of the great talents here in the AL, and he is also a guy that you just love the way that he approaches the game. So I am hopeful that we're going to see Mitch Haniger bounce back in a big way and be able to stay healthy. And we just had Scott Service on at 1 o'clock. And if you missed it, go to 710sports.com. Go to our 710 Sports app. Download our podcast. Check us out and go listen to that interview, because he also talked about how they are going to do their best to manage Mitch Haniger's workload at the beginning of the year to make sure that he can stay healthy.
From the 425, can we talk a bit more on why the Hawks weren't rewarded an extra pick for no positive COVID tests? Seriously, though, if you can be fined a pick for breaking COVID protocol, let's pass that pick around.
Yeah, I mean, how often are you going to go through this process? I mean, it sounds like it's going to only be, you know, one time in the entire NFL history. So I do think that the Seahawks deserve an award for this. I mean, they went above and beyond and handled this absolutely the right way, while so many were not able to handle it positively whatsoever. You ended up having to fine people, ended up taking draft picks away, all that. So I do think that, especially given the circumstances that we only have three draft picks right now, I mean, come on, Roger Goodell, throw us a bone here.
Stacy, thank you for asking me specifically, which Mariner has the best fashion sense? Wow, that's a great question.
That is a good one.
Best fashion sense.
You know what? Justin Dunn has a very large collection of sneakers, and I do think you have to be fashion forward to truly, truly appreciate, be a sneakerhead.
Yeah, he would probably be on the front runner of
that
list.
I'm going to say Justin Dunn right now. I could change my answer, Justin, fair warning, but I'll go with Justin Dunn right now. Do you guys object?
Yeah,
I think this a consensus?
He's a good
Taylor
one.
Taylor agrees.
I think J.P. Crawford is another one that likes to blast some fits on the IG.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's Instagram for
okay,
those
well,
that
let me
know.
Submit. Let me submit my pick, okay? Although I do agree that they're great picks. What about Kyle Seager? You know, he's just got the dad wear. I mean, what's
okay,
wrong with
Jake,
what's wrong with that? I mean,
feels
he's very
like projecting.
Fashion. No,
Jake,
no.
Are
he's
you,
very fashion forward. He's comfortable. He has kids.
Jake,
I mean,
Kyle Seager looks,
looks
like a guy that would wear jeans, a hoodie,
and a Nike zip up,
yeah,
and some gray
Jake,
knitted
I feel like
shoes.
That's a personal attack on
it
me right
is.
Now. This was not projecting my own thoughts and opinions. I
you
just
guys.
Appreciate someone who has that style.
Look, as someone who is nearing fatherhood, function over fashion is it is a real thing.
It is.
That's true.
Me.
I've been
I'm
wearing some
here.
Very comfortable sneakers over the last few months after recovering from my surgery. I may never go back to wearing like fancy shoes.
Also, peek behind the curtain. I want you guys to know how quickly Jake jumped out of his chair when he thought that Shannon found a fanny pack, like a Mariners fanny pack back there. He was so excited. So that's where you are with fashion right
only
now.
Only to be let down by Shannon. Thanks for that.
Let's see, Stacy. You should get your own show. These clowns who have never had baked beans on hot dogs aren't worthy of you. Thank you so much. I have these exact same thoughts. Someone else, the 509. Would Richard Sherman be a good signing for the Seahawks? Now, cornerback, if I have to choose one position on defense only, that is their weakest spot on defense. It's going to be a corner.
Well, they're going to address the position, right?
Oh,
and,
for sure.
And that
but
is going to
be Richard Sherman?
It's a loaded question. It's a loaded question. Would I like to have Richard Sherman as the player and how great he fits into the scheme, even with him physically not the same player that he once was back in, you know, even 2017? Yeah, I would, because I think he knows the system inside and out. The leadership that he could bring to the table would be outstanding. His mentorship over some of those young players, helping them understand the game. As I've said before, if Richard Sherman is coming in the way that he did in San Francisco, and he plays that role and does it to that effect and is that type of guy, I think that it would be a home run to be able to bring Richard Sherman back. But I don't think necessarily that a lot of that history that was there when Richard Sherman left, and it wasn't necessarily on the best of terms, I don't think it's just simply water under the bridge, Stacey. I think there's still more there. Unless I'm convinced otherwise, I don't know if that reunion would eventually happen.
From the 253, it's the question everyone's going to be having for this season, for next season, for the season after, and that is, what I need to know, what do the Mariners need to do to make the playoffs for the first time since I graduated high school in 2001? 20 years is too long. I would just like you guys to know I was reading that. I did not graduate high school in 2001 because I know Curtis and Jake are looking at each other
like
right
99,
now.
99,
no,
it?
Stop. That's not
okay.
Funny.
Well, Chris and Enumclaw asked a great question, and really it comes down to a few things. One, the pitching has to step up. It's got to be significantly better than what it was a year ago. Now, is it hard to top what happened a year ago? No, it is not. So I do anticipate that the pitching is going to be better this year, but how consistent will it be? That remains to be the question. And I really truly feel like that Kikuchi is kind of the X factor to that, because I am confident in Marco. I am confident in Paxton. I am confident in Sheffield in terms of his development and where he's going. So he's a guy that really, I think, could make or break this situation for the Mariners. And you've got to continue to see, you know, Kyle Lewis, when he comes back off of his injury, what does he look like? Evan White, can he take that a great approach at the plate and mature approach at the plate and see some of these other guys really step up and find their role? I think that that's all going to be a determining factor in this.
Stacey, we're just a couple minutes away from being done, and we were promised Brian today.
Oh, no. I know. Where is he?
He
is in the bathroom. I will have to run and go get him after this. I'll just bring my stuff with me just in case I get lost.
Well, there was one that texted in and says, what I need to know is if I have to come back from space to knock some sense into these boys, sign Brian.
That That's is from my boyfriend, Brian. I'm shocked that he can text being in
from
space. Yeah, well, actually, he's here.
Great reception up there.
Yeah, that's crazy. Let's see. Wow. From the 206, Jake, father of two, about to be a father of three with your guys, you and Brooke, having your very first baby girl, River. Mm-hmm. Curtis, about to be a first-time father, you and Brenna having Willa here in a little bit. Someone wants to know, who would win in a dad status batting battle, Curtis or Jake?
Oh, I'm deferring to Jake on this one.
Yeah?
He's the two-time
seniority.
Dad
yeah.
already.
Yeah, yeah. Curtis could catch up on me, but right now I've got that on lock right now. The veteranness has started to set in.
The one thing that does even us out, though, is we're both first-time girl dads.
That is
so
true.
We will be going down that journey together.
Yeah.
That is for sure.
Jake's quick defense of Kyle Seeger's fashion led me to know that he would win that. I didn't even think
I'm not willing to go that far yet.
Jake jumped out in front of it.
Hey, want us to pick right now because someone else, the 509, they said, do you guys like watching the unlimited hydroplane races? I wish they happened more often throughout the game, but who are you picking?
Yellow.
Red, green, yellow.
Yellow.
You got yellow?
Yellow.
Okay.
Yellow for Taylor.
I'm taking red.
Okay. Yellow.
You guys got to... We're not going to be at the game tonight, so we need you guys to let us know on Twitter who won, those who are at the park, who won, red, green, or yellow.
All right, you guys, do not go anywhere. This has been Jake and Stacy. Wyman and Bob coming up next. They are also live from T-Mobile. Got a couple fun interviews for you guys, getting you ready for opening day all day on 710 ESPN Seattle.